Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield, Massachusetts presents Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's A Little Night Music on the Boyd Quinson main stage August 6th through the 28th. BSC outgoing founding artistic director Julianne Boyd directs the love-laden and confused weekend in the country in a new production starring Emily Skinner as Desiree and Jason Danieli as Frederick. Emily Skinner's Broadway credits include The Cher Show, Prince of Broadway, Sideshow, Jekyll and Hyde, The Full Monty, James Joyce's The Dead, Dinner at Eight, and Billy Elliot. Jason Danieli originated roles on Broadway in Pretty Woman, The Visit, Curtains, and The Full Monty. He's also starred in Chicago, Next to Normal, and Candide. And those are just their Broadway credits. Emily Skinner and Jason Danieli, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm going to start with the saddest news that's not really news anymore, but an important umbrella over this production is that Stephen Sondheim died within the last year. What is it like for you two to be doing this Sondheim this season after that loss? Emily, I'll start with you.
Oh, my goodness. I think there's sort of even more of a sense of, importance is the word, but a reverence towards this piece and towards his writing, and even a larger, deeper appreciation. As an actor, I look at this script and I'm the lyrics, and I'm just astounded by the intelligence and the wit and how he's literally done all of the work for you as an actor, in the way I don't know a lot of writers can do. So yeah, it's just a deeper appreciation now.
Yeah, I'll just second that. I mean, there's so many thoughts about all of the shows that he had written. This wasn't really on my radar. I mean, I had seen a couple productions of it, but then to do it and to delve into it and see, like Emily said, how well written it is. Not that any of the other shows are less well written, but I feel like it's a gem, a little surprise for me, having known so many of the other shows. It's like, okay, let's crack this one open. And it's been an absolute joy these last 2.5 weeks of discovering that.
Emily, you've done the show before. You're playing different roles as you live longer, not get older, live longer. What are you discovering this time around, and how are you building the character you're playing now?
Well, it's always interesting to, if you've done a show before, to play a different character and you sort of see things from a different perspective. One of the things that sort of hit me even more this time is really with Sondheim, because it's so masterfully crafted, you as the actor really have to kind of just get out of the way of it. The lyrics and the words sort of serve themselves, and you don't want to do too much. You don't want to, you know, embellish, because then that actually sort of gets in the way of things. So I keep telling myself to, you know, oftentimes as actors we're given, oh, this doesn't sound very nice, but given sort of mediocre material.
Sure, of course.
And then you have to work to kind of make it better. And when you get in the habit of that, then when you're presented with something that's really good, it's like you almost sort of have to like take those shackles off, you know, and get those habits out and go, no, I don't have to do so much to lift this. Just serve it.
Does the direction assist with that?
Oh, absolutely. Because with different shows, it's you really rely on the actor to make it work. In certain situations. And for this, it's so well said. You just have to get out of the way. And I think we're finding that, especially after being out of work for 2+ years, you come back and so many things, for me, some, you know, habits that I didn't really care for, rituals and whatnot that kind of gum you up. I feel like I've come back free. Mm. And to come back with something like Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's a book, you just go, oh, this is what, how easy it can be. And honestly, it's not easy.
Sure,
there's
plenty
of words and melodies that are difficult. But yeah, with Julie assisting us and believing in that, trusting that it will all come together just by trusting the material.
Could you tell me more about some of the things that you thought were gumming you up that you have noticed you can shed
since the pandemic, some of the stuff that you just mentioned that you had before, is it describable or is it more internal than talkable?
For me, it's more internal. I mean, I could probably talk about vocal production or posturing or making faces, you know, the aunt from St. Louis who's like, oh, you make the greatest faces. You have such expression. You don't want to do that. You want to just feel it. I mean, Michael Caine had one of the greatest videos of how to teach someone how to act on screen. And it's just feeling it, not showing it. And on stage, there is something that you have to show in order for the back row to get. But then again, you really don't. If you bring them into you, it's going to be so much more rewarding as an actor. So yeah, there's all kinds of technical things I could have, you know, could go into, but it just is a lightness. Coming out of a pandemic, that sounds ridiculous to have a lightness. But there is something, I don't know, maybe it's, not that I don't care, but I don't have to get so stressed out about things as much. You know, I found other things that are just as important as, you know, work, living, and enjoying life.
Yeah.
And I think I've learned that before the pandemic with respect to other things that have happened in my life, but it funneled through those years, and I'm really happy for that.
How about you, Emily? Do you feel different after the pandemic as well?
Definitely. I
not that it's over. We have to always note it's not over.
I don't know what we're calling it now. I don't know where we are now. I mean, Jason and I sort of primarily work in live entertainment, and when that pandemic hit, and I didn't work for 16 months, I mean, at all. So to sort of then sort of start back up and ratchet it back up, you kind of go, oh, do I still know how to do this? God, I have these muscles atrophied, and I do sort of feel sort of a different person now. I feel less willing to push on stage. And maybe that's just because I'm now in my 50s, I have less energy to do that.
We gotta reserve our energy.
right. Whatever it is, I feel sort of liberated by that. And I think with smart material like Sondheim that asks you to lean in, asks an audience to lean in, you don't have to do that. So it feels like a gift.
In what ways are you different from or similar to your character in A Little Night Music?
I'm very similar. I'm frighteningly similar, scarily similar. I think Desiree Armfeldt is an actress who sort of has loved her adventurous life and her life on stage and whizzing about the world. And now she's sort of hit a certain point in her life where she's sort of going, is this fulfilling me in a way that, in any way anymore, you know, sort of, you know, doing some self-actualization, some self-examination. So it's interesting to play this part in right post, you know, the 16 months of sort of having a full stop in my life and going, hey, do I want to keep doing this? How am I different? You know, is this still fulfilling me?
How did you, I mean, I know everybody had their different ways of occupying their time when they were shut in, shut down and at home. But how did you occupy yourself when you weren't able to work during that first part of COVID?
Wow. Out of necessity, I developed a meditation practice. And I really sort of, you know, we talk about bubbles, or sort of bubbles that we felt safe in. I really got very tight with my friends that I, you know, wanted a deeper connection with, and my family. I had a friend of mine who got very sick, Becca Luker, and I helped her for a while, and that was sort of a gift of the pandemic to sort of be there for her. So that's what I did.
And what was the first work that you had back after those 16 months?
The first work that I had back, ironically, was doing Chicago at the Muni, which is a massive theater in St. Louis, where Jason is from, which was sort of bizarre, going from my tiny one-bedroom apartment to, and now you're, you know, must be like this for 12,000 people. So it was wild. but you go, you know, you sort of get it there in the costume and you go, oh, it's still in there. Yeah. Somewhere it's still in there. Amazing. We were both talking the other day because we both have backgrounds in our teens of working at theme parks.
Oh.
And he was telling me about the where he'd worked, and I was thinking, because I worked at King's Dominion 1 year, and then I worked at Hershey Park 1 year in my teenage years. And those jobs, ironically, really sort of prepare you for being an actor, and particularly for working at Broadway 8 times a week, because you learn how to pull it out when it's not there. You will learn how to do 5 shows a day when you don't have it, mm-hmm. you know?
Jason, how are you similar or different to your character?
I don't really think, well, you know, I haven't really overly analyze it. I think the biggest similarity is that we're both middle-aged and widowers. And he was a widower for a much longer period of time. And he very different, very conservative. He's a lawyer. He has a son, so he's an only father in 1900. But I think trying to figure out what it is that you want after you've had an incredible relationship for a long period of time. He chooses to date Desiree for a short 2-year period, and then there's a big fallow period, we think, of 14 years. And then he marries an 18-year-old young woman, not a girl, and he's looking in the wrong places. He doesn't know himself enough to ask the right questions, to be able to give himself what he needs, not just wants. And that's the beautiful thing about the show is maybe helping him along a little bit to find, you know, he can't rewrite the show, but the way that he might be sympathetic to his past relationship with Desiree and not so committed or understanding why it's not working with Anne. I don't know, it's fun. I'm blabbering on because it's, you know, we're in rehearsal and it's still kind of still fresh. I mean, some of it's pretty easy, but he is different enough that I'm like, really? 18 years old?
It's hard to relate to making that choice.
At 51, yes.
You are also, I wanted to ask you about you're co-creating and directing the Boston Pops mm-hmm. Sondheim concert that's going to be at Tanglewood in a few weeks. It's August,
August 19th.
Thank you. I was like, it's in the high teens. What is it? August 19th. Can you tell me a little bit about working with Keith Lockhart and creating that concert?
Sure. I was a guest artist with the Boston Pops for the first time in 1998 and guested with them on and off, toured with them. And so we have a long relationship with Keith. And I've actually done a previous Sondheim concert at Tanglewood with them, and my late wife Maren had done one at Tanglewood and Symphony Hall. And he wanted me actually to perform in it. I said, actually, I can't because I'm doing a little night music, you know, the next block over, essentially, at Barrington Stage. He's like, well, why don't I still want you to help me create this. And so it's the jumping off point was some of Keith's favorite Sondheim moments. And we wanted to corral it into something manageable and not a 3-day concert series. And so we decided to explore his work from 1971 to around 1987, starting with Company and ending with Into the Woods. And then pairing a few of the songs from each show to give a flavor of what the full show might be. So it was fun to put together and write the, you know, the patter for Keith, and we have 4 incredible soloists, Emily Skinner sitting to my left being one of them. So very, very lucky. And also I corralled 2 of our company members here who are playing Henrik and Petra to join us for the end of Act 1 finale because they happen to be rehearsing that particular number with me.
Right. No, yeah. Good. Emily, when you perform songs outside of the context of a show, how do you harness the moment and perform musical theater songs in concert? What is that like for you?
Ooh. Well, you know, it's interesting because I get to sing Send in the Clowns in this song. And I've sung Send in the Clowns before, but it's very different singing it in the context of the scene that it comes out of and is around. It's a whole different experience. To me, it's if you're doing something in concert, I think you serve it up more purely from a musical standpoint, whereas in a show, it's really about storytelling, about the emotional storytelling. So I tend to be a little more willing to be a song interpreter, a lyric interpreter more. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And in concert, you're allowed to bring more of your own person to the song. I mean, Emily can bring her personal life through Send in the Clowns, or her personal life through Mrs. Lovett, Worst Pies in London. I'm not we
that
know each other.
Be interesting.
I know you got it in, yeah? Like somewhere down there. Yeah, but that's when I'm performing in concert, I enjoy that, taking a song and interpreting it for myself and leaving the character behind.
Barrington Stage Company presents A Little Night Music on the Boyd Quinson Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, August 6th through the 28th. Our guests have been Jason Danieli and Emily Skinner. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you. So good to see you.
The Boston Pop Stephen Sondheim Tribute Concert at Tanglewood takes place Friday, August 19th. Tanglewood.org for more information. And for ticket and showtime information for A Little Night Music, which again runs August 6th through the 28th, visit barringtonstageco.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.